Okay, we speak in the name of Yeshua, a short, somewhat short message. We start with three scriptures, and then I'll go into the topic. Matthew 4:4, our Lord and Messiah is facing the enemy, the tempter. So when he's facing the enemy, he's not speaking anything of his own experience. I was born of the Spirit. I came from the Father. I know what is true. He only quotes the scripture before the enemy. He does not fall into the trap where the first lady of the world fell into the trap in Genesis 3, where she started to discuss with the devil and argue. So, it is written. He answered and said, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yes. Second scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from the beginning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also are saved. And it also means here in Aramaic, having life. Eternal life, that is. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then it continues, what I delivered to you, all that which I received, first of all, which I also received, how the Messiah died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Shimon Kepha, then of the 12, and then was seen above over 500 at once, and so on. And he was seen in verse 7 and seen in verse 8. So first is the scriptures, but then is the experience that people had. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26 and also verse 27. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing or moving of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And based on that, on that truth, we're going to have a little discussion. Yeah, we just finished a 40-day war, but did we finish the 40-day war with Iran? Is a question. The negotiations will be taking place starting Friday or Shabbat in Pakistan. It's very interesting that Pakistan entered into this picture. Pakistan and also China. It's less mentioned in the news, but China entered into these negotiations and was part of this effort. But Pakistan primarily, and the president of Pakistan also made a very interesting statement that was very interesting to me. Does he read the Bible? He called the Saudi prince, Mohammed bin Salman, by the name Prince of Peace. He was praising the different parties that are part of this peace initiative. He mentioned Saudi Arabia first, and he called the Prince of Saudi Arabia Prince of Peace. Well, we can think whatever we think, but I was wondering, does he read the Bible? Where did he get that kind of a statement that belongs actually only to the true Messiah that died and rose again? Well, when we were having this crisis time, and it wasn't easy, and it may not be totally over yet, we don't know, but it took a toll on people. I noticed even on myself that you hear a motorcycle go on the street, and you automatically think it's a bomb scare. It is a alert to run to the shelter. The last night, it was around 2 o'clock or 2:30 something, and suddenly the alarm went on, and I ran to the window because I'm facing, my bedroom is facing right the window from where all the rockets fly by. And there was a big fiery rocket from Iran flying towards Knesset, right in that direction. And I saw the two interceptors quickly go up. One of them blew it away. It looked like it was going pretty much towards the Knesset, or at least not very far. Yeah, we've been through that the last 40 days, and almost every day, several times a day even, these alerts, and it does take a toll on your body. But the Lord has been helpful, very, very great help in a time of need. And we need to keep praying really for the people in the northern border especially. That has not stopped. And the war against Hezbollah in the north is not part of the peace package, unlike Iran was reporting, and even Pakistan was mistaken there. But while these things were going on, I want to share with you, I was watching in the internet, a new movement that is happening, especially in the West, but I really think it's worldwide. And you can't really say it's like a movement because you can't pin it down to a particular way of organization. It's like a wind, it's like a event, it's like a zeitgeist, like they say in Germany. And it's called deconstruction. This is a big thing. It affects almost everything and a lot of things what are happening today. It shakes things that are the foundations of how everything should work. Now, there's a lady in America by the name of Alice Childers. Alice is a daughter of the famous singer from the Jesus Movement. Her father is the great singer that used to be called the band Love Song, the Love Song Band, Chuck Girard. Now, Chuck Girard went to be with the Lord about a year ago, just over a year ago. And Alice is a really wonderful believer. And she and her husband went to a particular congregation. It was like any congregation. They went there and assembled there, and then something very strange began to happen in the body, in the fellowship. They began to have discussions how we should question everything. We should question certain things in the Bible that tell about male and female, that tell about certain absolutes. And then these discussions began to take place. And she began to raise up Bible verses, but that doesn't fit with this verse and that verse. She noticed that that is not going anywhere. People are not listening to her. And she tried to raise up the voice of truth, especially to help the young believers, the new believers that had just come into the assembly. And they had to leave the whole thing. Well, I happened to see another clipping, and I don't want to really mention the name of the person so that everybody would go and start following him, but there was a former pastor of an assembly, former Baptist pastor, and he, a few years ago, he began to make these communications in the internet. And his starting point was like this. He said, Apostle Paul experienced the Messiah. The Messiah appeared to him on Damascus Road. Oh, yes. He said, if you take away the experience, there's nothing left of the teachings, of whatever he taught in his letters. This, I'm saying it like paraphrasing. His experience is the rock bottom. And he said, the New Covenant writings have been reduced into just theological dogma, and the experience has been taken away. And that Paul opened up a way for everybody to have this wonderful experience with this Messiah. So far, when I'm following him, I say, hey, this sounds like somebody has been thinking, good, this is true. But the further I listened, I could not believe my ears. The starting point was experience, but he never mentioned that after that experience of the Messiah, he went into the wilderness for 3 years. And what did he do in the wilderness? He went through the scriptures. And Messiah was teaching, the risen and exalted Messiah was teaching him the scriptures. And then, what the verse we read in 1 Corinthians 15, he did not say Messiah died for our sins as we have experienced this, but he said according to the scriptures. He rose according to the scriptures. He emphasized according to the scriptures. But then the continuation is also true. And then he appeared, or he was seen by this group, and then he was seen by that group, and then he was seen by Paul. So there's two things. There's the scriptures, and there's the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been bemoaning a long time how little the Holy Spirit is given room to make the Messiah of the scriptures alive. How little we have really connected the powerful scriptures and the ability of the Holy Spirit to make these things alive to us so that we can really live in His life. Okay, so his starting point, there was something truth about it. But then the further I followed and followed and followed and followed what he was saying, it became evident where he's going. And it was simply awful. He began to question virgin birth. He began to question, and the big thing he was questioning was, actually, this is what he was saying. He was saying that we are not to take the death of the Messiah as something, a payment for our sins, substitution for our sins. It was an idea that was given to us, some kind of like a sacrificial idea that we can take into our own experience. And it went worse and worse and worse. Even the basis of salvation was taken away. Then I began to think, I noticed that there was a great teacher who was, in my view, pretty faithful to the Bible. Very much so, actually. His name was Stanley, and he died a few years ago. But his son, that happened maybe a couple of years ago, began to question the biblical morality concerning homosexualism. Ooh, interesting. Then I began to notice that is the area which in this whole moment, there's a whole moment which is based on this thought. It's not exactly organized, but a lot of people that are wounded, that are hurt, sometimes by bad practices in congregations, or they are just wounded by life. Whatever, we can't say. These people are looking for something authentic, and they're looking to connect to something where they can find understanding and find where they're accepted. So now the deconstruction idea is pretty much like this. I'm not saying it completely right, but this is more or less the idea. Your experience, whatever you're experiencing, is to be taken very seriously, okay? It's not to be challenged. If you're experiencing an alternative lifestyle which is not aligned with the Bible, but it's your experience and it helps you, no one should have a right to question that. So whatever you're experiencing, that is to be defended. Your experience is to be guarded, and we're going to walk with you and support your experience. And needless to say, well, that experience is not connected in any way to the truth or to scriptures. At the same time, there's a lot of room to be a Bible believer in a way. But you know what's interesting? There's a couple of things that is not accepted in this group. If you, in their viewpoint, attack or defend, I should say, defend biblical morality of male and female, human sexuality according to the Bible, and if you don't support transvestite idea, you are looked upon strangely, you will not find your place in this community. You will not. You're out. But then, another thing is sin. There's no absolute thing like sin. You know, right and wrong, relative. Hell, if you talk about punishment for sin, which is hell, and it's not to be taken lightly, but that's considerate. You're scaring people. You're causing traumas to people. You're causing mental and emotional anguish. You cannot speak about punishment and sin because you're attacking people's rights and their experience. So it started out with this man, at least, that experience comes from God. And Apostle Paul had a right experience. And just like he had an experience, you can also experience God in your own way. But where is the second part? Paul always said, according to the scriptures. So when that is in the equation, I realized, now there's two great dangers. One of them is that we exalt experience according to the Bible. We exalt, I mean, against the Bible. Exalting experience against what is written, that's a danger. But what about the defense against it? The counterattack, if we use that way. I don't mean attack, the counterpoint, I should say. The counterpoint also could be very dangerous. The counterpoint could be, let's just go only by the Bible, and I agree, only by the Bible, but we will question every experience, even biblical experiences. Now, a lot of the church has gone that way and done away with idea of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, having very personal leading of the Holy Spirit in a very, very personal and powerful way. Here it is the thing. We will still have to act this. It has to be according to the scriptures. So it's not supposed to be Holy Spirit versus the scriptures. It's supposed to be both. And in some way, the devil is just trying to trap people into this kind of a thing that you have to choose. Everything is scripture, and question all your experiences of your leading of the Holy Spirit or hearing the voice of the Spirit. And I just see what the devil is doing. He's really, really tearing apart the body in a very, very amazing way. We have to go by the Word. And the Word leads us to a clean experience with God. This is what I believe. And then whatever we experience, everything we check by the scriptures, it's got to be in the guidelines of the scriptures. And the outcome is that we can have the apostles' vision of the scriptures. Vision of Yeshua, I mean, through the scriptures. And also experiencing his indwelling life. This is a big point. This is a big point. Everything that can be shaken is really being shaken. Okay, but then comes the next thing. In the last year, 2 years, more than anything, I think it started during the October 7th war. It really started there. People began to question Israel. I used to think that it's kind of like an isolated attack against Israel. People are questioning Israel today. Does that have anything to do with the Israel of the Bible? And so on and so on. And the Jews, which are the Jewish people, we are mostly in the land now. more than half Ashkenaz. I don't know the percentage, because a lot of the families are half Ashkenaz and half Sfaradi, and you know, it's not so clear today. But there's a lot of Ashkenaz, and the Ashkenaz have been labeled as Khuzari descendants. Khazar, they say in English, or Khuzari, as we say in Hebraic. So all these things have come under the questioning, and there's a big spin about that. Khuzari Jews are actually a genuine Jews, according to the study that I have studied from scholarship and so on. Jews are genuine people. But how come this is coming now? Tucker Carlson came to Israel strangely about a month ago, whenever it was, and had this discussion with Mike Huckabee, the excellent ambassador, and he was strongly questioning Huckabee's view and Israel's rights to the land and everything. I have to admit, I was looking at it somehow like an isolated incident that was triggered by these wars, and now my eyes are opening up. No. There's a deconstruction, and the deconstruction wind is like a supernatural wind that works on the intellectual level and is coming from all kinds of directions. There are powerful speakers in the internet, and they literally question everything. It's the same method as the snake in the garden. And the experience that people have is supposed to be safeguarded as holy. And if you attack that experience, you're wrong in attacking it. It's amazing. By the way, in Islam, in the religion of Islam, there's a taqiyya concept. Taqiyya concept is that when I say this, I do not mean to attack genuine, kind people that are in Islamic religion, that just want to work for their families and God bless them. And not every one of them is violent by no means. No. But there's this radical element that is really the wind behind this Islamic conquering spirit. So when I say this, please understand, I'm not talking against individual Islamic people. We need to love them and try to show them the truth of the scripture and the love of God. Okay, so the taqiyya idea is this. The Islamic people move to a certain country, and once they are there, even if they have lived there before and had to move away, that area belongs to them. And whatever they declare is to be the rule of that country is right. So if the local people say, what you are saying is wrong, let's say like Sharia law, you are wrong. No, those that challenge Islam, they are wrong. And then the Islamic people have a right to fight and push back against these radicals that try radical thought. So all this to say, I'm gonna bring it to a close now. All this to say, I am for the scriptures. I am for the idea that we check everything by the scriptures. But I'm not for the idea that we push the Holy Spirit out and genuine experience of Yeshua in our lives, genuine experience of God in our lives. And by the way, Jewish world also is attacked by this deconstruction. This topic is big, but I'll just bring out one point. I was looking in, checking out a local Jewish information basis. What is the view on what used to be called homosexual agenda, LGDB, whatever. I don't even remember the letters. It's a long term. Okay. The Jewish world still has elements that hold to the biblical morality. But you would be amazed how many synagogues are folding under this idea that we have to not be quite so dogmatic and da-da-da-da. This deconstruction is going forward. And there is an information base which is the New World idea, which has been promoted years ago by those that are trying to formulate the New World, as they say, that every institution, every religion, every ideology, whatever it is, Bible, Jewish world, Christian world, Buddhist world, whatever, the basis of everything have to be questions, so that at the end, people will not really know what to believe, who to believe. And that's the point when they expect the new world leader to come out. Are we heading to the false peace? Good question. Is there a plan that is not as organic and grassroots as it looks like? Is there really a plan to cause everything to crumble? And is that prophesied in the scriptures? I'd say it is prophesied. Everything is shaking. So I mentioned quickly the four pillars that I live by and try to live by. And these four pillars are unshakable. First of all, the Word of God that gives us the vision of God, vision of the Messiah, vision of the creator of the world and the Redeemer. The Word of God. And as we take the Word of God, we listen, hear, and also give it out, we get strengthened in the eternal truth. Second one is the blood of the Messiah, the blood of the atonement. We need to keep our conscience always cleansed. Confess our sins to Him instantly and then follow. As we are cleansed, then we know the peace of God, the power of forgiveness, and then we are in the third pillar, the Word, the blood, and thirdly, the Holy Spirit. His leading, His powerful presence in our lives. So we have the scriptures, but we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that wrote the scriptures and gave us the scriptures, of course, through human agency as well. But they are totally inspired. And then the fourth one is fellowship. We need to have fellowship. We need to hear others that are ahead of ourselves. We need to hear others so that we have body fellowship in the Word of God, and we are under hearing of the Word of God. So these anchors keep us, the Word, the cleansing of the blood in our conscience, the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship in the Word. And if any one of these is missing, we might go astray. So I hope this encourages you, and it'll be very interesting to see how the Lord is leading Israel in the next steps. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but our eyes are opened, and we will see what the Lord will do. These are definitely prophetic times. The rabbis are calling them prophetic times. I agree. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Pray against this spirit of deconstruction, which basically means question everything. No, we should start questioning our own questions and be honest, and then the wonderful Father in heaven will always help us. There's grace and there's truth. Be well, my friends. Shalom.